Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Seated. One of the things I realized standing up here is that I'm not nearly as well hidden behind the columns as I thought I was when I'm out in the congregation. As many of you know, I have an engineering degree from that rather large university in Columbus, Ohio. The engineering profession is what has paid the bills since before I graduated in 1983. And my thinking has been shaped by all that training and all those experiences. Logic, or rather logical fact-based thinking, is the way that I approach most things in life. It is no wonder that I love systematic theology when I had a chance to take it at the seminary. Now, if you are an engineer, or if you are fortunate enough to be married to an engineer, or if you have family members who are engineers, you're probably going to get what I'm talking about. We engineers, we tend to think we're pretty special. We understand how stuff works. We don't struggle programming the TV or the DVR. We read the directions and we like it. Being a bit nerdy is okay in 2012 because the world is becoming more complicated with stuff. And so we are more accepted and becoming more and more popular. Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, dare I say, have almost made us trendy. Now, I can remember a few years ago when we were on a family vacation in Disney World, we went to MGM Studios. And they have this really cool roller coaster that doesn't work like a normal roller coaster. You get in a car and they got Aerosmith music playing and you take off and you go flying down the track. Except it doesn't have an engine. And it's accelerated by magnetics, and it just hurtles down the track by magnetic forces. And I just thought it was so cool. And being the engineer, I wanted to explain that one to Caleb and get him excited about how things work. He was not impressed. He was much more interested in what motivated people to jump lines and bully their way through the crowds. I guess I should have known right then that he was destined for a degree in psychology. Now, there is a downside to understanding a bit of the physical world. I want everything to be like the physical world. I want it to make sense on some level. And the more important something is to me, the more I want to understand it. The more important something is to me, the less likely I am to accept things on face value. I want everything to make sense. I want to understand the whys and the hows of this life around us. Basically, I am a big fan of the truth. I want the truth. When I hear someone make a claim on TV, I want to understand the data behind it. If someone sends me one of those, seems like endless stream of emails over the internet, I want to do a fact check and see if what I was being sent is accurate. Now, the non-engineers in the congregation may be thinking that this approach to life sounds rather boring, this being grounded in reality. However, like most of the other folks, I, as an engineer, do enjoy entertainment. I like to be entertained. I just have to flip that part of my brain off to keep from overanalyzing when I'm being entertained. After all, it's not important if it's entertainment. For instance, I go to a movie and I can watch Thor drop out of the sky from Valhalla, and I really don't have to understand how he did that. It's okay. It's a movie. It's entertainment. I just shut the thinking part of me off for a couple hours and become entertained. After all, what's the impact of entertainment to the seriousness of life? Now, really, truly, are any of us all that different? When we are deciding something important, we want details. If you're going to go out and buy a used car, hopefully a Honda, you will want to see the service records. We want to understand how the car is maintained. But when we're being entertained, we just let it kick back and we let it just wash all over us. At Christmas time, when you watch It's a Wonderful Life, you really try to understand Clarence and the guardian angels? You just sit back, enjoy it. It's entertainment. And I doubt that we think all that much about it when it's over. If it's really good, maybe for a day or two, but that's about it. Now, I don't think we're that different, nor do I think that humans have changed very much in the last couple of millennia. When I hear the gospel proclaimed today, I find myself thinking about Thomas and thinking that his reactions feel very familiar to me. I find myself identifying with Thomas. Our gospel lesson from John, second Sunday of Easter season, is the same every year. We get to hear about Thomas every year. And when I was a kid back in Ohio attending that Evangelical United Brethren, EUB for short, congregation, Thomas was not cast in the most favorable light. He was deemed to be a person of weak character or weak faith. Now, I never really bought into that, nor do I think casting him as doubting Thomas is particularly accurate either. Thomas seems like he would have made a very fine engineer. He was presented with testimony by his fellow disciples, who, by the way, were cowering in the upper room. He understands that that information is important to him. He wants it to be right, because if it is, it's life-changing to him. He wants it to be right, but he is not going to take testimony. He wants data. He wants to fact check. He wants to understand how all this is possible. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails on and my hand in his side, I will not believe." I get this. I do. Thomas reacts in a way that I can imagine myself reacting. Thomas had been on such an emotional roller coaster during the course of that week, would want to have what the others had had. They got to see Jesus, so if I was Thomas, I'd want to see Jesus too. They got to see nail prints, so I would want to see the nail prints if I was Thomas. I would want that visible, tangible proof that Jesus was walking around. Not a pretend Jesus. Not someone that looked like Jesus, but the real deal. The guy that I saw die on a cross. The guy with the nail marks, the guy with the wound in his side. That would be what I'd want to see in order to know that this wonderful news is true. If I was Thomas, if I had spent 3 years with our Lord and Savior, that's the level of proof that I would want. Let's face it. Nothing else in the life of Thomas is more important than knowing that, in fact, Jesus had risen from the dead. This is not entertainment to Thomas. He's not going to let it just wash over him. This is important to Thomas because if it's true, everything changes. The women see Jesus at the tomb, and when they come back and tell the disciples, Peter has to run down and see for himself. The disciples, minus Thomas, hear Jesus speak to him. They see the nail prints when Jesus holds out his hand. Thomas wants to see the wounds as well. Can we blame him? Does he really deserve that moniker of doubting Thomas? See, we know what Thomas wants to see. We know what the other disciples saw. We know from the recorded scriptures that the followers of Jesus needed in order to know that the resurrection was real. They certainly understood how important it all was, even if they didn't understand at the time how it all happened. Today, I think perhaps that we have it a bit backwards. See, we have the advantage of scriptures. We understand that the resurrection was possible by the power of God, but I have to wonder, if we've lost our sense of how important the resurrection is to us. Is Easter worth the struggle to understand, or is it entertainment? Now, when I was in college, I went through that very common phase of rejecting the teachings that I had grown up in the church I grew up in. I had heard enough turn or burn theology to last me a lifetime. Christianity back then seemed more like fire insurance than anything else. Get saved, avoid going to hell. That was the message I grew up with. Easter was all about my absolute best clothes, men wearing ties, women wearing hats and gloves. That was about as important as Easter was to me. That and the candy that we got after church. Easter was pretty much entertainment. I didn't get it. But fortunately, we have this very persistent and loving God. And during that period of time when I was telling everyone that I had a problem with organized religion, God kept giving me friends in my life who were part of organized religion in a really committed way. Their tradition was important to them. Going to Mass was important to them. Easter was doubly important to them, and it impacted how they lived. And they were good friends, and they were good people that I cared about. But I didn't understand their commitment. I think if only they didn't go to church, they would be just such perfect friends. So I thought at the time. And I kept seeing these folks being unselfish and doing very kind things because they wanted to be unselfish and kind. I didn't understand the motivation. Sure, be polite, but this actually caring about people, I'm just not sure about. I assumed they were being kind because they believed they had to. Because that's kind of what I grew up with. They believed that they had to. It's like making premium payments on that fire insurance that I mentioned. But what I learned over time, and the countless hours of conversation, that was that Jesus was not making them be kind. Jesus was showing them how to be kind. So is Easter worth that struggle to understand, or is it merely entertainment? Is this resurrected Savior important and life-changing, or is he entertainment? 30 years later of life experience, and I get it now. I understand that we are going to treat this information of Jesus Christ in one of two ways. Either we confront the reality of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the promise of Easter, and know that everything in our life is going to be different, or we allow these stories to wash over us, to be nothing more than a movie that entertains us for an hour or so once a week. Is Easter worth that struggle to understand, or is it entertainment? If we walk out of here carrying the same grudges, the same junk, the same stuff that we walked in here with, then I can tell you that you've had an hour of entertainment, but little else. If the liturgy, the music, the homily, the prayers, the Eucharist does not deepen our understanding of the love of God in Christ Jesus, then we have to ask ourselves about how important this is in our lives. Maybe we need a bit more of Thomas in our life. Maybe we need to demand more because we know the stuff we do on a weekly basis is life-changing, or it should be. Maybe we need that part of Thomas that desperately seeks the risen Lord. And when he sees Christ, he responds, "My Lord and my God." Is Easter worth the struggle to understand, or is it entertainment? We spent a week tracing the path of Jesus Christ from his triumphant entry on Palm Sunday all through Holy Week, ending with an empty tomb. For me, the process of death and dying was not very entertaining. However, without a shadow of doubt, I believe the resurrection is life-changing. Make sure you're finding Easter worth the struggle to understand. It's the most important thing any of us will ever do. Amen.